Nityananda.
Jaya
Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhaktavinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhaktavinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhaktavinda. So we're reading today from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita of Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami with translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Madhya Lila chapter 8, verses 64 and 65. I'm going to read 64 and we can read together 65.
Prabhu kahe ho baya age kaha raya kahe jnana mishra bhakti sadya sar. Prabhu kahe ho baya age kaha raya kahe jnana mishra bhakti sadya sar. Prabhu kahe ho baya age kaha raya kahe jnana mishra bhakti sadya sar.
Translation. After hearing Ramananda Rai speak in this way, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Go ahead and say something more." Ramananda Rai then replied, "Devotional service mixed with empiric knowledge is the essence of perfection." Purport. Devotional service mixed with non-Vedic speculative knowledge is certainly not pure devotional service. Therefore, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, in his Anubhasya, preached that self-realization following the execution of ritualistic ceremonies is the neutral stage between liberation and conditional life. It is the place beyond this material world in the river Birja, where the three modes of material nature are subdued or neutralized in the unmanifest stage. However, in the spiritual world is a manifestation of spiritual energy known as Vaikuntha Loka, where there is no anxiety. The material world is known as Brahmanda. The material universe is the creation of the external energy. Between the two creations, the material creation and the spiritual creation, there is a river known as Birja. Incidentally, it's not known as Biraja. There's a river known as Birja, as well as a place known as Brahmalok. Birja Nadi and Brahmaloka are shelters for living entities disgusted with material life and inclined to impersonal existence by way of denying material variegatedness. Since these places are not situated in the Vaikuntha Lokas or the spiritual world, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu proclaims them to be external. In the Brahmaloka or Birja Nadi, one cannot conceive of the Vaikuntha Lokas. Brahmaloka and Birja Nadi are also difficult, are also attained after difficult austerities. But in these realms, there is no understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His transcendental loving service. Without such spiritual knowledge, simple detachment from material conditions is but another side of material existence. From a spiritual point of view, it is all external. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected this proposal, Ramananda Rai suggested that devotional service based on philosophy and logic is a more progressed position. He therefore quoted the following verse from Bhagavad Gita 18:54. Please repeat, text 65. Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Nasho Chatina Kangshati Samat sarveshu bhuteshu. Mad bhaktin labhate param. Please chant. Ladies. Brahma-bhuta, freed from material conceptions of life, but attached to an impersonal situation. Prasanna-atma, fully joyful. Na-shochati, he does not lament. Na-kankshati, he does not hanker. Sama, equally disposed. Sarveshu, all. Bhuteshu, to the living entities. Mad bhaktim, my devotional service. Labhate, achieves. Param, transcendental. Translation. Ramananda Rai continued, according to Bhagavad Gita, one who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments nor desires to have anything. He is equally disposed to every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that a person who accepts the theory of monism, being always engaged in empiric philosophical discussions about spiritual life, becomes joyful and is relieved from all material lamentation and hankering. At that stage, one is equipoised. He sees all living entities as spiritual beings. After attaining this elevated stage, one can attain pure devotional service. The conclusion is that devotional service mixed with ritualistic fruitive activity is inferior to spiritual service based on empiric philosophic discussion. Om Agyanatam Idandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Jenitasmai Shigurvain Maha Chichitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Sapadantikam Bandeham Shigurau Chijutta Padakamalam Shigurun Vaishnavamscha Shirupam Sagujatam Sahagana Raghunatamitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Bishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpa Tulubhascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So just to summarize, last week Dhruva Maharaj Prabhu spoke on the preceding verses, and that was about renunciation. See, Ramananda Roy has been asked to speak by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And first thing he said was that one should perform prescribed duties. This is the best thing. Then he said, he went on to, with being prompted by Lord Chaitanya, he went on to the verse Yat Karoshi Yadashnashi Yat Juhosi Didasi Yat, whereby whatever you're doing, you should do it for Krishna. Lord Chaitanya said, more, I want more. Then he said, Sarva Dharman Parichaya, this is the ultimate thing. So Dhruva Maharaj Prabhu was speaking about renunciation and how not to be a pretender and how to not stop the train but divert it by the process of sublimation. Make it more sublime. Take what you are and what you have and what you're doing and divert it to the service of Krishna. So now we're talking about Jnana Mishra Bhakta. And the idea of Jnana Mishra Bhakta, because Lord Chaitanya is saying that this is external. So even after it's kind of surprising. Even after giving up material life, passing through all the variety of material life, finally, after many, many births, one may come to understand that material life's not where it's at, and look within. But Lord Chaitanya is saying that this is external. That this is kind of surprising. So we can study the difference between jnana and bhakti. Jnana Mishra Bhakti, the goal of Jnana Mishra Bhakti is liberation. That's why Lord Chaitanya doesn't like it. And the process of those Jnana Mishra Bhaktas is speculation. So we can just look at what speculation actually is. It means that from where we are, we're trying to understand what is beyond us. Specular, in Latin, the specular is a watchtower or a lookout post. And a speculator is an investigator. I find it interesting. Or in military terms, in a Roman military camp, they would have a speculator. Call a speculator. The speculator would go out furtively from the camp, and he was a scout or a spy. So he would look at, he would observe the lay of the land and the position of the enemy, and come back and make his report. So that's exactly what a speculator does. From his own position, by his own, it means conjecture or guess or surmise or theorize. From his own position, he's observing that, look, this material sense gratification, it doesn't seem to work, it doesn't seem to produce the fruits that I want. So let me see what else there is. 1980. Well, it was not this, it wasn't this, nor this, nor this, nor this. So what is it? What is the truth? And the word empirical also comes from the Greek peira, which means attempt or trial. So this is a non-Vedic, Prabhupada says in the first line of the first purport. Speculation is a non-Vedic process. It's not something that's recommended in the Vedas. It's something that we do when we become frustrated with material life, when the grapes are sour. And therefore, it's being said here that the conclusion you arrive at is just the flip side of materialism. It's not really better than materialism. And the word Mayavad is not in the Vedas and the Upanishads. You don't find the word Mayavad, not mentioned. And also in because the chief of the speculators, who is the chief of the speculators? He was empowered by the Supreme Lord Vishnu to speculate, Shankaracharya. And in his Shalirarka Bhasya, his commentary on Vedanta Sutra, he uses words like nishakti, nirvishesh, nirakar, meaning that the absolute truth is without potency, is without form, is without distinction. But these words, nirvishesh, nirakar, nishakti, they don't appear anywhere in the Vedanta Sutra. It's supposed to be a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. But it's a complete concoction. He has concocted something. Why has he done this? Because one day, Lord Vishnu called Lord Shiva. And he said to him, Nigamai kalpitais tvamcha, mam cha gopaya evasyat. No. Janan mat vimukan kuru, mam cha gopaya evasyat. Shristir eshottarottara. He said, what I want you to do, because of the situation on earth, terrible situation, the whole of India, no Vedic culture, no Varnashram Dharma, animal slaughter going on, Shunyavad, emergency. So what I want you to do is Nigamai Svalpikais Tvamcha. You imagine, you take the Vedas are not, they've been rejected. I want you to take the Vedas, but imagine your own interpretation. By your furtive imagination, you come up with a philosophy. And the effect of this philosophy, Janan Mad Vimukan Kuru, will be that the population, Janan, they will not be able to find me. I am the Brihad Vastu Brahma. I am reality. Reality consists of Bhagavan, the Jiva, and Maya. The real substance, the variety of spirit, that's Krishna. That Brihad Vastu Brahma has Naam and Rupa and Bishesh and Tadiya and Leela, all different features, fully. That's what this reflection, if you look around, there's so much color and form and variety in the material world. Where does it come from? It's a reflection of reality. How much more amazing? This material world is amazing enough. But how much more amazing the Paravyom must be, the spiritual world. But Lord Vishnu said to Lord Shiva, I want you to generate from your imagination a philosophy which will Madvimukan, which will hide me from the people in general. Mancha Gopaya Eva Syat Shristir Eshotarotra. Because they will not know me, because I will be covered by this speculative philosophy. What will happen? Shristir Eshotarotra. There will be material creation. More and more and more. Material creation means material advancement of civilization. They'll be going faster and faster, round and round in circles. They'll be exploiting the resources of the earth more and more and more. They'll be trying to squeeze enjoyment out of the material senses more and more and more. They'll be speculating more and more and more. And so therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that if you hear Mayavadi Bhasya Shunile Hai Sarvanash, he says that if you hear this Mayavada philosophy, everything is destroyed. Now it's interesting. Last week, Dhruva Maharaj Prabhu he pointed out the correlation between Arjuna and Ramananda Rai. Ramananda Rai is a partial incarnation of Arjuna, and he pointed out that therefore Ramananda Rai is always talking Bhagavad Gita, because Arjuna was instructed in Bhagavad Gita. So we can also draw a correlation here between Shiva, who is, what does Lord Shiva do? He is the destroyer. He does this Tandavanritya when it's time for destruction. By his Tandavanritya, everything is destroyed. All this, everything, will be destroyed, was destroyed, and will be by Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva is the destroyer. And it's interesting that Shankaracharya, the effect of the philosophy of Shankaracharya is that, according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sarvanash, everything will be destroyed. Everything meaning your spiritual life, your understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it will be destroyed. Because it's based on Pratyaksha and Anuman. How to find out the truth? There's these, the Pramanas, the Vedic Pramanas. Mayavada philosophy utilizes Pratyaksha and Anuman. But the characteristic of these ways of finding out the truth, Pratyaksha Anuman, they utilize selective attention. They must do. A man sees what he wants to see and he disregards the rest. Remember that one? Which in Sanskrit is Pashyanapina Pashyati. You see, but you don't see. Because we're interested, we see one aspect of something. Of course, the Pratyaksha of Bhagavan, that's not selective, it's comprehensive. And by hearing the Pratyaksha of Bhagavan, Sri Krishna, then we can understand the entirety of the elephant and know how to use the elephant. But otherwise, the only conclusion that we'll arrive at by observation and hypothesis is that the ultimate realization that we can arrive at is impersonal. And impersonal meaning external. We can arrive at this place, Birja or Brahmaloka. We can get there, but we have not actually solved the problem by this tremendous endeavor. we've only negated material life. And what we need to do is find another way to understand reality, because Atatshri Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grahyam Indriyai, these blunt material senses, they are not capable of perceiving Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's form, hearing Krishna's name, etc. So we can only understand the vastu, this word vastu, we can only understand with these material senses, we can only understand this material world, where the vastu, the ultimate vastu, is the atom. Vastu, vast means exist, and tu makes it a noun. So the vastu is an object. The ultimate object of this material world is the atom. Atom comes from Atma. And so the indivisible, ultimate, elementary substance of the material world is the atom. And in Greek, atomos means a, not tomos, cuttable, cut up, cannot be further divided, the atom. This is a reflection of the spiritual world, where the vastavam vastu, the atom, gives us an avastavam vastu, a false reality. The spiritual world, the vastavam vastu, is the atma, not the atom. And the brihad vastu brahma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And this can be understood. How to understand this? If we can't understand by speculation, if we can never arrive at the full understanding of life, if we can only reach an external understanding of things, then how on earth will we come to this knowledge? First thing is, because Vedanta Sutra says, Tarka Pratishtanat. By logic, you won't get there. So, but Krishna gives the clue. He says, Idam tu tegu yatamam pravakshyami anusuyure. First thing, be non-envious. And then, in a non-envious situation, Shraddha shabde bishvas kare sudrida nishchay. Krishna bhakti kaile sarva karma kritahai. Then we, by faith, one simply has to have faith and hear from the right place. Tad vijnanatam sa guru me vabhigas chet. It's such a relief to talk about, after talking about the nonsense process, to speak about the real process of just tadvidi panipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnanina tadvidarshina. The self-realized devotee has seen the truth, and therefore he can impart it to you. To who? To one who approaches him with humble service and submissive inquiry. Then within the heart, the truth, by bhakti, the truth will be manifest. Nivritta tasha upad giyamanad bhavo sarach chotra mano biramad ka uttama shloka gunanuvadat puman birajeta vina pashubnat. Those who are done with lust, nivritta tasha upad giyam, they're done with material lust, accepting and rejecting, become indifferent, don't reject, don't accept. Those persons, bhavo sadat shrotra, by disciplic succession, they can become eligible to receive the bhavo sada, bhavo shadi, the medicine for material disease. And then by hearing, Atapi te deva padambuja dvayam prasada le shanu grihita evahi. Janati tatvam bhagavan mahimno nachanya meko pichiram vichinvan.
Long, long time you'll go on speculating. And even then you'll understand practically nothing. But if someone receives prasada lesha nugrihita evi, even a tiny drop of my mercy, Krishna says, then, no, he doesn't say, Brahma says, your mercy, then he can very easily understand the greatness of your personality. So it is by Shabda Brahman. By Shabda Brahman, everything can be revealed. And otherwise, our renunciation will be incomplete. Prapanchikataya bhujya Hari Sambandhi Vastuna Vamukshubi Purityago. Hari Sambandhi Vastuna means Vairagyam Pagukachite. Hari Sambandhi Vastuna means that we don't understand how things relate to Hari. We don't see how everything is, how this is his Shakti. This is his energy. We are his energy. Matter is his energy. If we don't understand how Ishavasyam idam sarvam, everything in this universe is owned and controlled by the Lord. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha. Ahankare vimudatma kattaham iti manite. We don't see the Supreme Lord. Then only abhidya. So our renunciation, it can only be incomplete. And ultimately, aruya krich trena parang parang tada patantya dha. It cannot last. The soul is satisfied by devotional service to Krishna. That is our constitutional position. And so therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, this is external. Please go on. So Ramananda Rai will continue going deeper and deeper and deeper at the prompting of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So if there's any discussion on these points, we have a microphone. Be prepared to answer your own question, by the way.
I have a hard time understanding Krishna's motive in sending Shankaracharya. Now, you didn't mention that he came to counteract Buddhism by bringing people back to the Vedic culture,
yeah.
But which is another verse. But the idea that he wanted to increase the Mad Vimukha people who were turning away from Krishna.
Yeah.
And you said that he also said that he came because things were so bad already.
Yeah.
You mentioned animal slaughter, but I was wondering, well, you mentioned animal slaughter in your list of bad things.
I didn't catch it.
Animal slaughter, yeah. I'm sorry. And I was saying, well, I thought Buddha came to get rid of animal slaughter, so maybe he wasn't effective.
Yeah. Oh, no, that was my mistake. That was an error. Sorry, yes.
Okay. Anyway, the other part of my question is, why did Krishna want to increase the demons?
Yes. Why what?
Why did Krishna want to increase the demons?
Yeah. What the Indian continent ended up with after the visit of Shankaracharya was better than what it had before. Because without the Vedas, we cannot go anywhere. We cannot be successful in anything. So Shankaracharya, and it's amazing what Shankaracharya did. 33, he lived about as long as Christ. And in a very short period of time, this is proof that he's a very, very, very powerful, empowered personality. A very short period of time, what he did was drive Buddhism out of India completely. In 33 years. And he didn't have, you know, a laptop and a whole network of people and
He just walked about in simple cloth and defeated philosophers. So he took the mass intelligence from Shunyavad to Brahmavad. His followers actually are the ones who made it Mayavad. He established Brahmavad. Brahma Satyam. This is Brahmavad. So faith had begun as a result of his activities. There is something. Not that the darkness of Shunyavad is absolutely horrible. Voidism. There is nothing. You are not. There is not. Don't look. Nothing is. And to get there, just think of the sound of one hand clapping. So Lord Chaitanya drove this out, but the people were not ready for the gift of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for the holy name of Krishna, for the rasa dance. Not ready. It's a gradual dusting off. And very effective and empowered by the Supreme Lord. And then the Vaishnava Acharyas come. Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya, Nimbarka, Vishnu Swami, the Alvaras. Actually, the Alvaras. When were the Alvaras? They were probably before Shankaracharya. But the Vaishnava Acharyas soundly defeated these Brahmavad and Mayavad ideas and introduced their different philosophies of distinction within spirit, variety within spirit. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came with the final full version, Achintya Beda Beda Tattva. That's it. Yes, Prabhu.
Yeah, no, I'm not. In addition,
can you hold the microphone on your chin, please?
In addition, well, you know, I mean, Krishna's doing unlimited things at any given moment, and he's fulfilling everyone's desires, and not just in this life, in human history as we perceive it on earth. You know, he's doing unlimited things at any given moment. One thing in the Asuras, it's not like they have some separate potency. It's not like in Western theology or in other traditions, there's a sense there's God, and then there's this other entity that's competing with God. I think in Vaishnavism, we're emphasizing Krishna's actually transcendent. He's equipoised to all. He's fulfilling all desires. So even these Asuras get their potency from Krishna. So one argument I guess we could consider is, if, you know, we're looking at this statement that, you know, why did Sankaracharya, why is he facilitating the Asuras? Is because no one else is going to facilitate. I mean, Krishna, you know, that's where they get their potency from Krishna, you know, from these great powerful living entities, you know, and it's part of the freedom of the conditioned soul that Krishna gives us. We have this little minute freedom, and ultimately we have to willfully give it to him, and it's, we have a choice not to.
Yeah. I'll need a summary.
I was also thinking that in order to be a good demon, you need a philosophy, and who's going to give you one? I mean, ultimately, Krishna has to give you the philosophy to prove that he doesn't exist. Like when Prahlad's father asked him, where do you get your power from? He said, I get it from the same place you do. You know, his came through Brahma, which came from Krishna. So in order to be it's Kali Yuga, everybody's a demon now, practically.
Yeah.
So Krishna had to supply them a good philosophy, so he gave him, I asked Lord Shiva, you know, he's kind of like in charge.
Matak smriti gyanam upanam cha. At the same time, he's going to offer the full truth. Not just offer, but flood the world with the full truth at the right time. And it was us. We shouldn't think that this was other people. You know, this back in Buddha's time, Shankaracharya's time, it was us. We're eternal. We're taking birth again and again. So we have been brought to this point, probably, isn't it? Yes, Mataji.
Just another point. It seems like when we start to think about what is Krishna's motive, we're getting into pretty rough territory. You know, why did Krishna do this or why did Krishna do that? It's like, you know, everything that Krishna does is perfect. It just made me think of when Mother Vishakha was walking with Srila Prabhupada one day, and he was talking about the moon and how the moon made the vegetables flavorful. And so Vishakha was puzzled, and she was like, well, how, you know, how did the moon do that? And Srila Prabhupada's answer was, ask him. So I kind of thought like that too, with thinking about Krishna's motive, is that we may never totally understand. You know, in certain situations, even the way the world is going on now, it's hard to understand, well, why is this happening? Why is that happening? Mm. All we do know is that, like I read a treatise one time by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, and it kind of totally blew my mind, because basically he was saying that everything's going according to Krishna's perfect plan, and there's no need of any kind of reformation. And those who think that there's some need of reformation are in themselves in need of reformation. Mm. And being a big reformer by nature, it just kind of like blew my mind. But still, it really stuck with me how, you know, it's hard to see the complete picture sometimes, but, you know, Krishna's perfect.
Very good. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.